السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continuing with Azjawan Mustafa Rahmatullah Alayhi's Majlis. And by the token of being human, one may make some mistake. If it happened, person made a mistake. He could have broken some law of Allah Ta'ala. Sometime can even be a major error also. Can be a major sin also. Person can commit a kabira guna. The word insan has the root uns in it, love. But it also has the quality of nisyan. Nisyan means forgetfulness. So there is a saying in Arabic, awwalun nasi awwalu nasin. The first people to come to know something, generally they're the first ones to forget it also. Then there is another saying, afatul ilmin nisyan. That the afat of knowledge is forgetful. The person learns something and then he forgot it. He read something, then he forgot it. So the point here is that insan, at times he will forget. In a moment of weakness, he will he will forget. At that point and time, he forgets his duty to Allah Ta'ala. So occasionally this thing can happen. Allah Ta'ala is not going to take a person to account on minor lapses. Now and again, something, person slipped up, some mistake happened. Allah Ta'ala is not just going to take a person to task for that. As long as a person is avoiding the major gunas, is avoiding indecent behavior, etc. So Allah Ta'ala knows that this person is trying. A person saves himself from obscenities, from foul actions, from evil. Then Allah Ta'ala is not just going to punish that person and take the person to task. However, there must not be persistence in evil. A person is persistent, he's stubborn on his guna, committing the same guna over and over, he's living that same life, he's continuing like that, despite knowing what I'm doing is wrong, he's still carrying on like that. In this evil, this type of evil, where a person is continuing, so whether it is evil gunas, whether it is an evil companion, an evil friend, you know that by joining that company, I end up in this guna. This company, they are going towards that wrong. So why must I join them? Why must I be with them? I must move away from them. I mustn't join that company. I mustn't be with them. So if a person continues like this, then all this forms part of shirk. All this forms part of shirk. And this shirk is from the aspect of deeds, not the shirk in aqidah. Not shirk in aqidah, but shirk from the aspect of a'mal. So the ayat that we had read in the beginning, then one should not associate any partners. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. In other words, do not let riya intrude in that righteous deed that is being performed. Don't let riya come inside. By the contamination of riya, that deed ceases to be righteous. It's no more righteous in its correct meaning. To the contrary, it is now muddied. It is now muddied. So So there is a special point, Hazrat Rahmatullah is saying, there is a special point in regard to the first portion of the ayat. And whoever hopes to meet his Rabb, whoever hopes to meet his Rabb, that person who wants to meet his Allah, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, that person who hopes to meet his Rabb. So you are, in other words, Allah Ta'ala is saying that you are hopeful of meeting me. You want to meet me. And simultaneously you are committing shirk-e amali. The one side you're saying you want to meet me. Other side you are committing shirk. Shirk in our amal. Now how can these two be compatible? You're saying that you are mine, you're saying you love me, you're saying you want to meet me. Then how come if you want to meet me, you love me, then how come we have a dual intention? How come we have a dual intention? Another point in performing any righteous deed is that it must be for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Righteous deeds are not for our pleasure. A righteous deed, a good deed, is not for our pleasure, how much I'm enjoying it. It is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That deed with which Allah ta'ala is pleased, this will be regarded as a righteous deed. That deed which does not draw the pleasure of Allah ta'ala will not be called a righteous deed. Now outwardly a deed may appear to be righteous. Outwardly it may appear to be righteous, but if it is not attracting the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then it is not righteous. It is not righteous. For example, a person is reading Salah, right? And he's reading that Salah with out of itminan, khushu, khuzu, concentration, made a proper wuzu also, everything, right? And now he's reading this namaz, properly he's facing the qibla, all his arkan, all his postures, everything is perfect. His qiraat also is perfect, tasbihat, everything is perfect. But he's reading this salah at zawal time. Reading this salah at the time of zawal, when Allah Ta'ala has forbidden salah. You can't read namaz at that time. And he knows it's zawal time. But he feels, now I want to read namaz at that time. So although outwardly it is the act of namaz, which is supposed to be amal-e-salih, it's a great deed, a pious deed. But because the happiness of Allah Ta'ala is not there, it's not regarded as a good deed. It's not regarded as a good deed at all. Another example, Azizi Rahmatullahi gives, a person is fasting on the day of Eid. The day of Eid is haram to fast. Not allowed to fast, prohibited. Now he is fasting on the day of Eid. He said, I'm making qurbani. Everybody is eating biryani. I'm sacrificing, I'm going to fast. Now outwardly, fasting itself is amal-e-salih. But fasting on that day doesn't attract the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So now that deed is no more regarded as a righteous deed. It's a sin. Person is perpetrating a sin. Although outwardly it's in the form of an ibadah. So an ibadat is only that which is done for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And when we are doing it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then it has to be done how Allah Ta'ala wants it. How Allah Ta'ala wants it, that's how it must be done. See, for example, there is a very expensive chocolate. Very expensive. Nowadays chocolates I think I mentioned to you all, one friend of mine came home, you know. So I offered him some chocolates. He's telling me, "You gone very rich now." Because there were some children there also. So I'm telling the children, "No, eat, eat." Giving them. The father is cautioning them, like, you know, you mustn't take more than one. And I'm telling them, "Eat, then don't worry." So the father is telling me, he's saying, "You gone very rich now." I'm saying, "Why?" You see, you know what chocolate this is. The chocolate is chocolate, but what? Do you know how expensive this chocolate is? I said, "That I don't know. How expensive the chocolate is, I don't know. Somebody brought the chocolate here. Somebody, I didn't pay for it. Somebody brought and gave me the chocolate. So I'm sharing it with you." So he's telling me, "No, this chocolate you only get here, and special shops keep this chocolate in so much a kilo, I don't know what and what." Stories he's giving me. So now if there is one chocolate like that, very expensive chocolate, right? And a person has got a very beloved wife, and she is feeding for a chocolate. But her favorite chocolate is Chomp. Her favorite chocolate is Chomp or Tex or something, you know, and cheap chocolate. That's her favorite chocolate. Now he says he wants to buy a chocolate to make her happy. So he goes to buy this expensive chocolate now. He goes to Dubai to buy expensive chocolate now. So is it going to make her happy? She don't like the chocolate. Now, no matter how much you spend behind it, how expensive the wrapping may be, what kind of gift bag you put it in, all that you did. But she doesn't like it. So if you bought the chocolate to make her happy, you should have bought one Chomp. Bought the text and given it to her. That's what's going to make her happy. So Hazrat Rahmatullah gives another example. He said that a person, he wakes up midnight. And now he says, "No, I'm making ibadat." So now he's reading tahajjud, rakat upon rakat, zikr, dua, everything he's doing. Right? And now, 3:30, 4:15, he's so tired now he slept in. Now he missed his fajr namaz now. Now is that going to attract the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? It was better for him that after Isha, he went and he slept away. He slept away, whole night he slept. And he woke up and did his fajr namaz. Although his fajr namaz maybe only took him 15 minutes, 20 minutes to read. And this whole exercise of his tahajjud was 3-4 hours. Allah wants that 20 minutes. He didn't want this hours. This hours you want to give from your side. Allah wants from you that 20 minutes. Now, the person is feeling very good about himself. How much ibadat I mean, what I did. But Allah Ta'ala is saying, "I only wanted that 20 minutes from you. If you never give me this whole 3-4 hours and you gave me that 20 minutes, that would have made me happy." Yes, if you got the strength and you gave this 3-4 hours too and you gave that 20 minutes, then nurun ala nur. But I didn't ask you to do that. That's from your side, your thing, you want to do. But what I want, make sure you give me. What I want, make sure you give me. So sometime we mix the thing up. We mix it up. What Allah Ta'ala wants, that we're not giving. What we want, we're giving. And we expect Allah Ta'ala must be happy with what we dictating. Is this thing on heater or cool or what? On what mode? Where's the remote? G. So this person now, he made so much namaz. Another example Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali gives, he said that some people, they don't go for salah with jamaat. They don't go for salah with jamaat. And they say, no man, you know, when I read namaz at home, no, I get the proper concentration. When I go to the masjid, I don't get the type of concentration I get compared to when I read at home. Now, Allah Pak wants you to go to the masjid and read the salah with jamaat. That's what Allah wants from you. Now, you are saying, no, I get better concentration at home. Is it better for that person to go and read the surah with jamaat in the masjid where he is thinking his concentration levels are low, rather than reading his namaz at home where he is thinking his concentration levels are high? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentions here that, O Banda of Allah Ta'ala, O Jahil, O ignorant one, that namaz with its attendant wasawis, which is performed in the masjid with jamaat, is thousands of times superior to that namaz performed with full khushu in solitude at home. That person who goes to the masjid to perform his salah is the banda of the shariat. He is the banda of Allah Ta'ala. He is the slave of Allah Ta'ala. He is following the shariat. Whereas the one who is performing namaz at home, he is a slave of himself. He is a slave of his own temperament.
Where the fans are here.
So the person who is worshipping his own temperament is worshipping himself. So that is the shirk. There is shirk in that ibadat. He is doing that ibadat for his pleasure. He is not doing that ibadat for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just see, a person considers himself to be mukhlis, considering himself to have a lot of ikhlas, whereas the shariat considers him to be a mushrik. Mushrik amali. Mushrik in his deeds. Not mushrik in his beliefs. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he gives an incident, qissa, an incident that took place, that there was a Shah Sahib who was a resident of Patiala. So he once came to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, came to Jalalabad, came to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. He had 1,000 murids. He had 1,000 murids, and Hazrat pointed, he said, I was still staying there. But when Hazrat was giving the incident, he was now staying in a room next to the Majlis Khana. So he pointed across, he said, I was still staying there. That is the house across the courtyard. By then his son, Bhaijan Rahmatullah Ali, was staying in that house. So he said that this person came, the Shah Sahib, and he stayed for several days. And all these days, heavy discussions on suluk, like, you know, deep discussions, heavy questions he had about suluk. He also mentioned that he had met a number of mashayikh before he came to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. So one day we were sitting having a discussion, and Asr Azan was given. So I stood up and I went to read my namaz. So he didn't wake up. He didn't go to read namaz. So after reading namaz, I came back, went by him and I asked him, did you go for namaz? Did you go to the masjid to read namaz? So he replied, no, I read my namaz here. I didn't go to the masjid. Say, why? Why you didn't go to the masjid? So he says, no man, you know, I was experiencing such kayfiyat. You know, you were explaining certain things. experiencing such kefiyat that if I stood up and I went, I would have lost that kefiyat. So I wanted to read the namaz with that kefiyat. So I just stayed here and I read the namaz. So Hazrat said to him, there are three states. One is halate ghaibat, ghaibah, total oblivion. You don't know what's happening around you. The person is unconscious. He doesn't know what's happening around him. One is halate istighraq, totally absorbed in something. And the other one is halate sakar, the person is intoxicated. So he asked him, so were you in a state of ghaibat? You were unconscious or something, you're totally oblivious to what's happening around you. Were you in that condition that you didn't hear the azan, you didn't know it's namaz time, you didn't see me standing up and doing? So now this three states that Hazrat speaks about, towards the end of the majlis, it is explained in more detail, so we'll discuss it over there. Right? So he replied, no, I wasn't in any of those states. I was fully cognizant. I knew what's happening. I heard the azan. I was also aware that you went for salah. So Hazrat means that poor banda was ignorant. He wanted to do good and everything, but he was jahil, ignorant. Right? That is why it is for us to attain knowledge of the Shariat to the degree of necessity. That much knowledge is farz on every person. After that, the details, that is farz kifaya. If certain people become ulama, they can guide the rest. But that much knowledge through which a person can differentiate haq, batil, halal, haram, jais, najais, and the things that he has to do, read his namaz, all the different masail, etc., that much knowledge is farz on each person. Each person has to attain at least that much knowledge. Without acquiring this degree of knowledge, it was not permissible for him to become a sheikh. Now, he was a sheikh, he had 1,000 murids. Now, where he would have led all those murids with the ignorance now? How can that person who is ignorant of the Shariat be a sheikh? Can't be a sheikh. Now, this ilm, how is a person going to get that ilm? Either a person makes dakhla in a madrasa, and now he studies in detail, he learns Arabic, he learns just tafsir, hadith, everything. That's one way of acquiring the ilm. Another way of acquiring ilm, not everybody is going to be given that opportunity, right? 6 years to go study, become an alim. So the second way is that the person must seek the ilm. As situations arise, he must go to those who have studied and seek the ilm from them. Ask, he's ignorant of something, he must go and find out the masla, find out what is the masla, etc. So by regularly asking, a person will attain ilm. He will get the ilm. By regular attendance of the majalis of an alim, listening attentively, you will definitely acquire some ilm, acquire some knowledge. So this is a very, very important thing in our life, very important usul. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned here that, see, in any action of ours, the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala must be there. Not just our logic, what we want to do, what we feel nice about doing. The pleasure of Allah Ta'ala must be in the action. So, for example, whenever there is any now atrocities taking place against the Muslim Ummah, then we want to start marching. Right? And now is a new thing now. No more only marching to what they call it now, motor. Let's go with the cars now. Motorcade, motor, something like that. They got one word for it. Everybody must go with their cars, you know. So, what happens in these things? What happens in these things? There are a lot of intermingling. Sometime one is the intermingling. Then sometime the women that come to these marches and all that, they're not even dressed appropriately. Now, the point is, did Allah Ta'ala ask anybody to march? We didn't ask anybody to march. Now, the people feel we want to march to show our solidarity. That's the least we can do. I mean, if we can't go there, we can't do this, we can't do that. The least we can do is show our solidarity with the people of Palestine or wherever else the problem may be. Right? But now the manner in which we're showing our solidarity, is this making Allah happy or not making Allah happy? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. If there's be-pardagi, if there is interfaith, then all this is not going to attract the mercy of Allah. It's not going to make Allah Ta'ala happy. So then all that effort that is put into it, is it worth it? If it's not going to make Allah Ta'ala happy. It's not worth it. Then, for example, now, you get the boycotts. So, boycotting is very good. A person wants to boycott. He boycott, no problem. Right? So, if you feel now, you know what, I'm using a certain shampoo, or I'm using a certain, and now those, that thing is manufactured by some Jewish company or something, and I don't want to use that thing anymore, alhamdulillah, no problem. There was one old man, I think I told you people this incident, one elderly man, he came to Quwwatul Islam, Ginger Road Masjid in Jamaat, you know, some years ago. And he was talking, it was a South African Jamaat, but this one old man was in the Jamaat, and he was wearing lungi. So not wearing pants, wearing lungi, kurta, and only talking Urdu. You know? So I thought that he must be from India. He must be living in this locality and he joined this Jamaat. Because the rest of the brothers were all South African. Well, we all came from India, most of us, but now living in South Africa for a long time. So anyway, one night I was talking to him and his Urdu was polished like, you know? So I asked him, so he told me, no, I'm born here, South Africa. I said, but your Urdu, like, you know, you only talk Urdu, you don't talk English. So he said that, see, when I read, in my youth, I read what the British had done to the ulama in India, what they did to the ulama in India. Then I made up my mind, I'll never speak these people's language. So I never spoke a word of English from that time. So, I mean, he's doing it for Allah Ta'ala, right? There's no guna in what he's doing. Right? And he's doing it with that. When he read what they did to the ulama, so such nafrat for that lifestyle and that those people came in his heart, they said, I won't talk that language. So alhamdulillah, well and good, he can get jannat for that, Allah can reward. So like that, a person feels not, I want to boycott this product or that product, I don't want to buy this, I don't want to buy that. Very good. It's not a guna if you don't do it. Right? But now, the same person who's boycotting this product and that product and that product, but if the person is not reading his namaz, now what is more important in his life? He's supposed to be reading his salah. That is what Allah wants from him. If he went and bought that product and this product, is he going to get guna? He doesn't get guna. Allah didn't make a law for him. But now, if for example he's wearing his pants beneath his ankle, or he's involved in interest dealings, or he's making ribat, or he's doing something else, for those things there is guna. So with the boycotting and all that, but priority must be our deen. What is Allah's command? What is Allah Ta'ala's hukma? In anything in our life, we're getting married. Now we got this, some wishes, like, you know. No, that day I get married, I must go with a limousine to the hall. And I want, must be like this, it must be like that. Now all those things is the person's desire. But now he must check, what is Allah Ta'ala's desire? How did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell me to do this thing? I must do it like that. And that will attract the pleasure of Allah. Now that nikah will become an ibadah. See, somebody passed away, right? Somebody passed away. Now what is Allah Ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's instruction? So you must bury as quickly as possible. Ghusl, janazah, burial as quickly as possible. But now what we want to do now? No, my sister is coming from Joburg. The other one is trying to get a flight from Cape Town. I mean, you must keep everybody happy. I mean, you don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And now you feel very good about yourself. After 2 days, you're talking to your sister too. Sister say, no, bhai, wo jazakallah, you know what I mean? You waited for me, no, I'll never forget this thing you did for me. No, you waited for me, you took me into consideration. But did we take Allah's law into consideration? Anything in our life, if it's not attracting the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, it's not an ibadat. It's not an ibadat. We can be putting so much of effort into it, but if it is not attracting the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, it's not an ibadat. Allah Ta'ala was tawfiq. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluh wa laka ash-shukru kulluh. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله.